How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. A lot of wrestling has already happened, which we're going to go into. A lot of wrestling is going to happen tonight, which we're going to go into. Crown Jewel yesterday, 8 a.m. start here on the East Coast, which I absolutely loved. I had my coffee, I had my bagel, and I had my professional wrestling first thing on a Saturday morning. I mean, it was, listen, I know a lot of you guys hate the morning wrestling stuff. I know you guys hate the afternoon wrestling. For me and my lifestyle, this is absolutely perfect. There's nothing better than an early morning wrestling show. We'll talk about that. Also, a lot of returns on SmackDown. Took place overseas, obviously, in Australia. We'll talk about that. AW Collision and the Build to Wrestle Dream. That was a tragedy that happened on Collision. Kota Ibushi got hurt badly. We saw the rumblings of this because the show aired on Thursday. It was filmed on Thursday. I will go into it, but it does not look good. Bad injury. NXT and WWID releases. Departures happening also. And Bound for Glory is tonight. I'm going to go into it as much as I can, but there's a huge match here, and it is not the world title match. I mean, obviously, people want Mike Santana to win that world championship, but the match, I guess, really is the Hardys versus the Dudleys in a once-in-a-lifetime, last-time-in-forever match, I guess. And it's for the NXT and the TNA Tag Team Championship. Fascinating. Fascinating. Only if Edge and Christian were involved. Then you could do the real return of all this. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more here on Wrestling Observer Live. When we come back, we're going to go right into Crown Jewel and SmackDown. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. I'm here most of the time. Josh has done a tremendous job filling in here. And I know a lot of you guys love Josh, so I want Josh to do more stuff. So he'll be filling in for me whenever I have some insane obligation in my personal life happening. But let's talk about this. SmackDown. You know, it was a very interesting SmackDown. I like this SmackDown. MG, my producer, what were your thoughts on SmackDown before we run it down? I thought it was great. It felt different, I guess, because it was overseas. You know?
Yeah, and it was when it was first on, I first saw clips of it come on in that morning, but yeah, it was a little bit different. I mean, the big things on here were some of the returns. Nakamura, Shinsuke Nakamura's back, and it's like they forgot about his ninja character, and they just repackaged him as the
old Nakamura?
Nakamura from the NXT days and on. So yeah, but was great. He looked good. And then him and Sami Zayn got beat down by the MFTs.
Yeah.
So Tama Tonga's back. All the guys are back. So now Solo Sikoa has his full army. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm curious how that goes.
They would later confront the Wyatt Six. Looks like they're going after the tag titles. And that gave me, not on the same level, that gave me Wyatt's versus the Shield vibes just for a second.
So for like a quick second. I got that. Yeah. I totally got that. Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing interesting was Aleister Black and Zelina Vega have aligned.
Yes.
Which so I think that's a positive. I like that.
Yeah. I wonder if, so this has nothing to do with it, but there's a popular streamer out there called Senna, and she went to Zelina's their house and their dojo and trained with them. And a lot of people saw that. And I wonder if they saw that and said, you know, people know they're together, we might as well just show it on TV.
I don't know, because just, you know, Zelina, yeah. When Zelina came in as Andrade's manager, right, in NXT, mm-hmm. they were paired together. I thought she was fantastic in that role because she actually could get involved, and she's actually a decent wrestler. So as a manager, I'm not saying that she's a bad one, but as like, when you're a manager, you're not playing the wrestler role, right? So you're,
right.
But she would do things that you would react to, and I thought she was great as that valet or a manager. I think with her and Alistair, you know, obviously there's natural chemistry between the two. So I think this will be, this is a positive here.
Yeah. It was very weird how they did it too. They were at there. It was the end of the say, it was the end of the show and they were on a, like on boxes on the balcony and she ran off to the side and you were like, who's that? And she jumped over the railing and was pleading with Damien. And he set up the fireball and boom. I was like, okay.
So I was wondering, when is the last time we saw a fireball spot in WWE?
I couldn't even tell you. I didn't have time to go research it, but I'm sure many people will tell us.
It's such a great old school wrestling spot. You know, who do you think of when you think? I think of Memphis when I think of a fireball spot.
Yeah, oh, me too.
Always, right?
Jerry Lawler stuff for sure, yeah. And Jerry Lawler. Recent years, Jericho had been using it in AEW, so it's not like it hasn't been around, but in WWE, I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah,
I
when he was screaming that he's a wizard.
Yeah, I wonder how much politicking Alistair had to do to get that spot approved.
I wonder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a spooky guy, right? If anybody could throw fireballs, it would be him.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like what they did there. I thought it was a decent SmackDown. I enjoyed it. Again, like you mentioned, the Nakamura return. I hope they do something with him. You know?
Yeah, please.
I hope they do something positive here. But yesterday was Crown Jewel in Perth, Australia. So that's why it was an 8 a.m. start. I had a lot of fun watching it with the kids. And I say that because I want you to know the state I'm in when I'm watching it. I was watching with my kids, and they had a lot of fun. I thought they were a couple of really, really good matches here, okay? The AJ Styles and John Cena, obviously, was, to me, the match of the night. I absolutely love that match. I thought those two guys did everything to showcase a WWE All-Star main event. I thought the Seth Rollins and Cody match was very good. I did like Rhea Ripley and Io Sky against Asuka and Kairi Sane. I thought, you know, the story is obviously Rhea in her home country. But I thought it was an overall decent show. I mean, it wasn't a lot of matches. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches. Easy to follow. What did you think of the show before we run it down?
Five matches.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you on the AJ and Cena match. I have a note on there on that, but overall, I thought it was a real good show. The only really kind of, it was just their match with Tiffany Stratton and Stephanie Vaquer. I didn't feel like that hit the next gear. Like,
well, because they went 10 minutes. It was the shortest match.
Yeah.
There's no way of hitting the next gear with 10 minutes of a match. Mm-hmm. Let's run down this card, actually.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
So the first, it opened up with Roman Reigns and Bronson Reed. They went about 21 minutes and Bronson beat Roman Reigns. He pinned him and they on commentary, they couldn't stop telling you that this is the first time in many, many years that Roman Reigns has been pinned clean.
Single, other than
in a singles, Cody. Other than Cody. Yeah. Other than Cody. But Cody's thing was like 80 different schmazes that happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, they played that into this, right? They played that in at the after the match stuff with the Usos, and he's like, I told you I need to do this on my own. People don't think I can do it anymore without it. And then he told him he didn't want to see him until Christmas, which I thought was a funny line.
That is funny. So I guess they're not doing Thanksgiving together this year.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Whose house is hosting Thanksgiving this year in that family? that's the bigger question. Why can't Dave Meltzer find that out? Why can't Brian Alvarez find that out? If we can't use our assets, why? Who's contacting Sean Ross Sapp to find out where the Usos and the Reigns are the Anoa'i family? Who's hosting Thanksgiving this year? Because it has to be somebody's holiday. Listen, I'm in the middle of that. I host Thanksgiving and I host Christmas Eve. Those are my two holidays. I'm not giving it up, so I guess Roman's not participating. Fascinating.
Which is interesting.
I thought this was interesting. I actually found it interesting that Braun Breaker won the match. You know,
you
they're obviously
Bronson.
What did I say? Braun Breaker. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was in the match.
He was in the match. Yeah,
too,
he interfered. So. Yeah, Bronson. You know, that's the other thing, right? You have these two guys. You have Bronson Reed. You have Braun Breaker. They are obviously aligned with Seth Rollins, but what is their role? What are they going for?
Well, they're supposed to be the future, right?
Okay,
that's the whole vision concept.
Why are they not in the tag team picture? You know, put those tag titles on them. I think it's interesting that Bronson Reed was the one to defeat Roman Reigns. I mean, that's a major elevation. You've told people now that this guy is up there. He kind of took the place of what they were planning on doing with Solo months ago that they didn't really commit to. So I find it interesting that Bronson Reed was the one to defeat him. I think that's a good thing. I don't think that hurts Roman at all and only elevates Bronson Reed into a bigger position, you know, and that's the key that they're in right
wild?
Now. Yeah.
You want a wild stat?
Yeah, give me a
Bronson
wild stat.
Bronson Reed is the only person to defeat Roman Reigns and Kushida Okada.
He has defeated...
In the G1 a couple years ago.
He defeated Kazuchika Okada. Is he the only person ever to defeat both?
I would have to do some more research, but yeah.
Okay, has AJ Styles defeated Okada? Somebody on the break, we'll find that out. Has AJ Styles defeated Okada?
I don't think so.
We'll find that out. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Did a little investigating here, and I had it backwards. AJ Styles has defeated Okada. That's who he beat for the IWGP title. But he does not have. He never defeated Roman Reigns. Interesting. So Bronson Reed is the only one to defeat both? Maybe there's
some
weird,
I know.
I'm wondering if there's some weird technicality of like early Okada or Okada and TNA that faced against somebody that ended up beating Roman Reigns early on. We'll find that out. Very interesting. But I did like that match. I did like what they're doing with Braun Breaker interfering. I did like what they did with Bronson Reed. I thought it could just continues the story with the Usos also. But you see, this is becoming Survivor Series, right? This is what's going to happen. They're going to force Roman into a Survivor Series match, and that'll be part of the story. Fine, great. Stephanie Vaquer defeated Tiffany Stratton to win the WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship. This went shortest. This was the shortest match on the card. It went 10 minutes. It was what it was.
Yep, it was kind of there.
It was kind of there.
I mean, you can tell they're putting strapping the rockets to Stephanie Vaquer. They love her.
Oh, she's fantastic. But, yeah, Tiffany. Listen, Tiffany's great too. But
they both
Stephanie,
are. Yeah.
Stephanie is. Stephanie connects with the audience far more organically, without them telling you to like her. You like her, and some people just have
that. She has that same Rhea Ripley effect in many ways, right? They just get it.
Yeah. John Cena, AJ Styles. Cool. This match went 27 minutes. This was a showcase, I guess you would call it. AJ
put it
Styles.
This was an all-star game.
It was an
all-star game. This was an all-star game because of all the callbacks and all the shout-outs and all the moves. I was like, I'm watching like a movie right now.
So most likely, this is the final time that John Cena and AJ Styles will ever wrestle. Realistically, AJ came out in his 2005 TNA gear. He wore his TNA short shorts. He wore his TNA vest. He comes out. He looks fantastic. I mean, he's 46 years old. He looks incredible. John Cena comes out, and they put on a best of everything these two have done, every opponent that they've ever faced, every finisher you could ever imagine they executed in this match. It was false finish after false finish. You know, WWE does this a lot. This is a WWE WrestleMania-level main event where every finisher gets... You know who I blame for that? The finisher spamming?
Who?
The Rock and Steve Austin. The Rock and Steve Austin.
Yeah, they used to do that a lot back in the day.
I'm sure it was done prior, but they were the first to really do all the finishes. the stunner, the Luthez press, the special, and the finisher. They would do all of it to each other. So this was a lot. I love this match. I really did. This is probably the most enjoyed WWE match I have watched in a very long time.
I got really choked up when they did the Bray Wyatt stuff.
They did the Bray stuff.
The fact that the fans pulled out their phones on and started doing the fireflies like immediately was pretty cool.
I thought it was
fantastic.
What'd
you think of the introduction?
John Cena wrote that. I didn't know until you put it in the notes.
Yeah, he wrote it and he gave it to her right before, gave it to the ring announcer right before.
Well, they acknowledged the Bullet Club.
You could see it on AJ's face. He had no idea what he was gonna what was on that card.
Yeah,
which was wild.
When John has pull, you could do whatever the hell you want. But I mean, dude, I don't know what Dave is gonna rank this. I'm curious to see what Dave ranks it. I haven't heard Observer Radio from last night, which I normally listen to prior to kind of get a feel of Dave. I imagine he's going to enjoy it, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of spamming of finishers, and they teased a lot of moves. They teased the Seth Rollins curb stomp. They did, everything you could imagine.
It was Taker's choke slam got in there.
Taker's choke slam.
All the moves.
everything that you could imagine they did. I loved the match. It was fun. Now, listen, is it a clinic? Was it a 5-star clinic? I don't know. You could determine it in any possible way. You know what? It's wrestling is one of those things that it really depends on your personal preference. You know what I consider one of the best matches I've ever seen? Wrestling match? The Rock and Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 18. Yeah. I consider that one of their best matches that WWE has ever put on. Now, was it a 5-star clinic? No, but was it a 5-star match for me? Yes, it was. It was an emotional match that sucked me in.
And that's it right there, right?
That's what it is.
You were connected to it in a
very
way
much
that you will never be able to replace. That's
exactly
why.
Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, Kairi Sane, Asuka. Rhea Ripley obviously was the feature here. The story is the relationship between Asuka and Kairi is abusive, and what happened with Io. What did you make of this match?
I like this a lot. I got to say, these four have tremendous chemistry. You can just tell. Obviously, Io and those three have worked together forever, and Rhea and Io have some chemistry, really good chemistry too, obviously, going back to that match at Evolution they had. But yeah, this was fun. Maybe it didn't need to be 19 minutes, but it was a good match. It told the story. It furthered what they're doing with Kairi and Asuka. Obviously, we're leading to a really big match between Io Sky and Asuka.
Well, this is leading to War Games.
Yeah. Well, it's leading to that, too. But because obviously these four will be involved in it in some capacity. I mean, we've already seen the lead cards, right? I think Dave had it in the Observer. It's like, I want to say it's, I know it's Io's on that team, and I know Rhea. It might be Charlotte and,
I think so. It was Rhea.
Alexa, too.
It's Rhea.
Without having it in front of me.
Rhea, Io, AJ, Bailey, and Lyra,
yes.
Right? Against Asuka,
like that,
Kairi,
yeah.
Becky, Roxanne, and who was the other one? Rodriguez.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. But who knows if they'll change it, you know?
I mean,
sure, a lot will happen.
We're
a month out. Yeah, and then what's the other one? It was CM Punk and LA Knight, right? That was the other one. You could do Cody and Randy. That was another one.
Roman's on that team, and then against the Vision, and Austin Theory was potentially listed, which I thought was odd. So we'll see where that's going.
Gunther Sheamus, right? That's another name he was suggesting. And Reigns, Uso, Cena, and Fatu versus the Vision, Lesnar, and Drew McIntyre was the other one he said.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar in a War Games match. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, has he ever been? No, he hasn't.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
He largely hasn't been around when they've done these matches in the recent years, so we'll see.
Io and Rhea got the win, rightfully so. Seth Rollins defeated Cody to win the WWE Men's Crown Jewel Championship. This went 29 and a half minutes. Rollins brought the watch out that Cody gave him to the ring and used it to get the help to win the match. What did you make of this? This was a long main event. I thought it was fun. I mean, it was a good match.
Yeah, there was a couple.
I didn't love it as much as the John Cena match. Now, if the Cena match was not on this or was after this, I probably would have liked it a little bit more. But that Cena match took a lot of what I had in me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This I like this match just fine. It's just, you know, really. And, you know, it's playing into Seth's character because the character was or the story was he couldn't beat. He had lost 3 times in a row to Cody.
Yeah,
and he couldn't beat him for his story. This ending made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and obviously Paul Heyman playing a part of telling everybody like let him lose on his own. He's gonna have to learn like if he's good or not.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good.
Now he's going to be insufferable on TV, and it'll probably be a lot of fun.
those belts are gigantic, the Crown Jewel Championships. Yeah. I guess they're going right back to Saudi Arabia right after.
Yeah, I like the opening presentation.
Oh, how they brought it? Yeah.
That video.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Super Bowl trophy, right? Bringing it in and the white gloves and or the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to go for, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was fine. And now Monday Night Raw is there.
Yes.
So we'll see. Positive. It was a positive show. You know, I normally when they do these shows, you don't know what you're going to get. But I thought that John Cena, if it wasn't for the John Cena AJ match, I think it would have been like an okay show. But I think that was the thumbs up right there. You know, not the thumbs in the middle. That really elevated it. For sure. You also had some releases here. WWE departures and releases. NXT and WWE ID departures. Now, some people just did not release. They just didn't stay. We'll talk about that when we come back from break, but some of the names you've never heard of, some of them you have. But we're going to get more of these, you know. The company is, they're not on budget cuts. This is per Brian. They have over 130 people in developmental and hiring more regularly. If you're not progressing fast enough, or they feel that you haven't done what it takes for the main roster, you're out. To make room for someone else. Possible more cuts are coming in the coming weeks. Which I mean, I've heard the same thing. If you're not developing quickly enough, but they do this. They do a reevaluation every couple months. That's just how it's always been. When we come back, I'll go through some of these names. Same on the main roster, too. When we come back, I'll go through some of these names. And we're going to AEW. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. Here's some of the releases. Wesley, Stevie Turner, Darko Knox, Jamar Hampton, Gentala, Hayes Jameson, Jenna Jameson, Jenna Hayes, Allie Hayes, Summer Sorrell, Braden BJ Ray. Also Kylie Rae, but she also announced that she's having a baby, so that probably plays a part into this. Interesting.
Zeta Steel as well.
Oh, Zeta Steel as well. Yeah, Zeta Steel as well. I wish them all the best. I hope they all land on their feet and they do bigger and better things and they just continue the progress. I never like seeing people released or lose their jobs or any of that. I want positivity.
I know Stevie Turner went on X and said, oh, and I can wrestle now again. So
yeah,
she probably wasn't a fan of her character on NXT. So
probably not.
Probably good for not. Her. Cause I think, you know, you get that experience and now you go back out on the indies and you have a name and, you know, and you can do something with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. AEW Collision last night. Now this was filmed on Thursday in Jacksonville. And you had a bad moment here. Josh Alexander defeated Kota Ibushi via countout. This was not the plan. There was a spot where Kota was on Alexander's shoulders right? On the top rope. So Alexander's sitting on the top rope. He's on his shoulders like a fireman carry, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the spot. And they lost their, I don't know what happened. Something happened and Kota fell to the outside. And as of, I guess, a couple days ago, the rumor was that he broke his femur. And that is a very difficult
bone. Yeah.
That's a very difficult bone to break. I don't know if it's a break or it's a fracture or it's a hairline fracture. I don't know. But that is a very difficult bone to break and a very long recovery. I know people that have broken their femur playing football, and it is not an easy recovery. It is not. It is one of those things that you do not want to break. Now, it heals because it's a strong bone, but I don't know. I hope it's not like a full break, and I hope it's more of a fracture than anything else. But I don't know if he hit it on something or it was just maybe there was a stress fracture that kind of got worse. I don't know. But I wish him the best. This guy has not had good luck. It has been injury after injury the last 5 years. Yeah, and it's terrible. Terrible. But not, by the way, it is not Josh Alexander's fault at all. Nobody's blaming him at all for this. Just one of those things. I saw some people on Twitter questioning if he was the cause. No. Anthony Bowens and Max Caster defeated Big Bill and Brian Keith. Bowens and Caster are still trying to take credit for the team's success. All right. Ty Mello and Anna Jay defeated Carolina Cruz and Dream Girl Ellie. This is more of an advertisement for the tag team titles that are coming soon.
Saying are coming soon, and they haven't said anything on when they're going
to. Well, they got it now. They got to establish all the teams, you know, and I think that's a positive. Right. Let's get some more of those teams out there so we know who's who, instead of it just being random people teamed up. The Triangle of Madness defeated Tony Storm, Carly Ham. I'm reading it backwards. Wow. Harley Cameron and Chris Statlander. So here was the other thing. Kenny Omega came out for the save, right?
Yeah, came out. They turned it into an angle. They tried their best to get something out of it. So
how did they do this? I'm trying to remember because it was so long ago when I saw it.
He came out to the ring and checking on Kota.
On Kota,
and then bending him off, yeah.
Yeah, because they were beating up on Kota on the outside, yeah. So after Kota was injured, they still continued the story here. That's how it happened. Kenny was trying to send a message to the Don Callis family from the locker room. He was interrupted by Jack Perry trying to give a peace offering, saying he would have his back. Kenny wasn't buying it and told Perry to meet him at Dynamite. All right.
So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, looks like we're getting some sort of a Jurassic Express Kenny Omega alliance.
But wasn't that supposed to be the match? One thing that AEW has not done great is whenever somebody leaves, right, and they set up an angle before they leave, they never follow up on it. Do you remember wasn't Kenny and Adam Cole supposed to have a program when Kenny left?
Yeah. Kenny got hurt or something. And maybe that
Kenny
was
got hurt and then that happened and then Adam got hurt, okay?
Illness.
And then didn't Jungle Boy and Kenny have a program?
They had. He was part of that angle getting him when Kenny briefly came back, and he was part of that angle where they tied him to the stretcher.
Yeah,
and that's why he referenced that in that angle last night. So, yeah,
So I guess now they're friends. Okay. Be friends. It's fine. LFI, Roosh, Sammy Guevara, and Jarlistico defeated the Beast Mordos. MXMX TV, which is Madden, Mansoor, and Johnny TV. Eddie Kingston defeated the Beast with the Beast Mordos. I'm sorry. LFI, how did you do this? How did you write this? The Beast Mordos was in two matches?
Beast Mordos came out. And LFI, and then he had a match right after.
No, that's I know. I'm joking. I want them to do more with Mordos. I want Mordos to win.
Well, he seems to be positioned in a good spot.
Yeah, so well, Eddie Kingston killed him, so Eddie Kingston defeated the Beast Mordos here. Eddie looks great. He's obviously getting back in the rhythm of this. You got to work. Listen, he was off TV for how many months?
Oh, like 15?
Over a year.
Yeah. something like that.
Yeah. Megan Bain and FTR defeated Willow and Jet Speed.
I like this match more than I probably should have. I don't know.
Yeah, it was fun.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They did a lot more mixed tags, you know, full-on mix where, you know, he had Willow getting offense on on Dax Hardwood, which I thought was pretty funny.
You got AEW Wrestle Dream coming up next Saturday, which is great because I could talk about this on Sunday. You're going to have the Tailgate Brawl, Willow, Nightingale, Carly Hamron. I don't know what is happening with me. Harley Cameron. I did it again. Not enough coffee this morning, and I'm struggling now in the afternoon. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. You got a Tailgate Brawl, FTR versus Jet Speed, Thekla versus Jamie Hayter, The Demand versus The Hurt Syndicate. TNT champion Kyle Fletcher defends against Mark Briscoe. $500,000 match, Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks. You got AEW Tag Team Champions Brodito, which is Brody King and Bandito, defending against Okada and Takeshita. If there was ever a team to beat them, that would be the team to have to beat them. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a good team. I Quit match between Jon Moxley and Darby Allin. Let's see how they killed each other in this match.
That's going to be wild.
AEW Women's World Champion Chris Statlander defends against Tony Storm, and AEW World Championship on the line. Hangman Page defends against Samoa Joe.
Can I back you up just for a second?
Yeah, back me up.
So that Tailgate Brawl is actually the fourth hour or the second hour of Collision. And they did this last time. And I remember you and I being very confused because normally they
would
do a pre-show.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to remind everybody, okay? Because I had a moment of confusion last time when they did this. The Tailgate Brawl is on TV.
Yes.
Okay? So it's a 1 hour, because they're doing a 3 hour Dynamite, right?
Dynamite / Collision episode.
Yes.
This Wednesday.
Wednesday. Then they're doing a 1 hour show on cable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. So if you're watching the preview for the show, for Wrestle Dream, you will not see the matches on the preview. You will only see the matches if you go to the channel on TV and watch whatever this one-hour version is.
Or
HBO Max. Yeah. But I'm so here's my other thing. On HBO Max, if I watch, what am I watching on HBO Max? I'm not watching the pay-per-view stream. I have to watch before I go to the pay-per-view. It's not an easy flip over.
Yeah.
That's my point. So watch it on TV. TNA Bound for Glory is tonight. They've sold some tickets for this show. They've sold a lot
of
tickets.
Did you ever think, before you go into this, think that the infusion of WWE getting involved would help this much? It looks like they're going to get a TV deal. Looks like AAA is doing better now.
I think it's a positive for those guys. I think it's a positive for the company. I'm curious to see where it leads to. TNA is going to get a big offer. Let me just run down this card really quickly. TNA World Championship, Trick Williams defends against Mike Santana. This should be the moment for Mike. If it's not, then he's dead in the water. TNA Tag Team Champions and NXT Champions, the Hardys, defend against Team 3D, the Dudleys, in a tables match. TNA Knockouts World Champion, Kalani Jordan, defends against Indy Hartwell, two WWE people. Hardcore War.
Indy's not there anymore. But
Order 4 against The System. TNA International Champion Frankie Kazarian defends against Steve Macklin. X Division Champion Leon Slater defends against Javon Evans. Collier Shot Gauntlet match, Tessa Blanchard versus Gia Miller. And on the pre-show, you have the Knockouts Champions, the Inspiration against Elegance, the Elegance brand. Heather by Elegance and M by Elegance. This is a packed show. I mean,
yes.
Back to what I was saying, TNA will be getting a much better TV offer. I've heard some places. I'm not going to speculate, but I think it's, you know, Paramount is a reality. There aren't too many places they could go. Okay. Well, let's start off by saying that. So if they are using WWE and if the report is accurate, where WWE is assisting on their negotiations in some way and helping them get this TV deal, it's most likely going to be someone that they're affiliated with, which is everybody except for Fox and Warner, you know?
Yeah.
No, they are affiliated on Fox, right? Don't they have the show on Tubi?
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess the only one that they're not affiliated with is Warner. So, you know, could they go on Peacock? I don't know. Could they go on Fox somewhere, on Fox Sports? I don't know. Could they go on Tubi? Very easily. Could they go on...
I feel like a streaming service is more of an option.
Well, the wording was interesting because the way that it was worded didn't necessarily say it was TV. They said it... I don't have it in front of me, but the wording kind of made it seem like, hey, streaming is an option too. Listen, man, if it was on if TNA was on Netflix, I think they would do gangbuster numbers. Global numbers would be through the freaking roof. I don't know how much of a reality that is. You know, if they're streaming on Paramount, what does that do? I don't know. But it cannot hurt better than what they're on now. It's essentially a decent product with no placement. So I think this is the beginning of this. You know, when you're hotshotting the Hardys and the Dudleys for your title and you have all this TNA, NXT and WWE injection in your company, you are really trying to hotshot it for that TV. And that's the right thing to do. That's a smart thing to do. We'll find out soon. Sooner than later. I'm not going to use the word imminent, though. I get in trouble when I say that. I don't know if it's imminent. It could be. It could not be. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. You know, there's a lot of other stuff happening here, like Takeshita possibly becoming the next IWGP champion. I think that's the move they got to make, right? I think for New Japan's sake, I think that would be the smart thing to do. Have that title on American TV for a while. They need that shot in the arm too. The landscape has changed. You said it right. I mean, look at AAA. I'm watching more AAA than I've ever watched, and I think a lot of that has to do with accessibility here in the States. But I'm watching more AAA. I'm watching a lot more CMLL. That I've admittedly have said I do not have the knowledge on Mexican wrestling that I do with Japanese wrestling and in North American wrestling. I've never really followed it to that level. I mean, obviously I know this, I know the who's, I know their background because it's pro wrestling and I study it, but I don't have the knowledge base of a lucha blog. Or a Dave Meltzer.
Right.
But I'm happily learning and I'm watching. But I think that's going to be the big story here is what happens with, you know, the secondary companies in the next couple of years. Between
also,
the Noahs and the MLWs. I don't know.
Also, Mercedes won her 10th title in Denmark.
Mercedes won her 10th title in Denmark. So she's now doing the Otomo Dragon title reign. Is she going to go back to all these territories to drop the titles, or are they just going to have tournaments?
That's what
I can't imagine. Yeah. Some of these companies, I don't know if they have the budget to have her return. But guys, we're out of time here. We'll be back next week. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. See you next time.